Now, just keep relaxing for me. Let your mind and body ease themselves down. It's a slow road into complete relaxation. That means you and I have a lot of time for me to talk, you to listen, you to be affected, you to enjoy the idea of someone slowly unwinding, a mental construct for your use, and in this case, a tool that's very useful anytime you play with anyone who likes trance, who likes deep, instructive, constructive scenarios. Anyone who you would like to have the ability to deepen, to intensify, to take what you are experiencing and tweak it just a little bit so that ordinarily pleasurable experiences enter into a blank mind that is therefore fertile ground for planting the seeds of training, of instructions, of fetish and fantasy, and in my case, of aligning what you're thinking at various times with thoughts I have had and things that I want, in order to give you tools to use later. That's what we're doing, we're building a tool. In this case, a button or a switch inside your head. Only those that you want to have that ability to place you into a specific state are going to be using it. But I'm probably one of those. So although what gets unwound here, what gets taught and trained into you throughout, is yours. It's the kind of yours that you give away to someone else, allowing them to remind you so forcefully of a way you felt at a time that you felt it, that you go right back there, limp, loose, pliable, deep. Of course, you're familiar with it, because you know what happens when I say night-night. A little simple signal that helps you focus on my voice and blanks out the brain, that brings you back, anchored, many people call them anchors, a deep place which dwells within you and to which you return during your fantasies when you think to yourself of all the times you've entered trance, sliding deep. Somewhere in there is a strong memory of being anchored to night-night pet, and the effect thereof. Well, this will be another similarly strong memory. There may be times when you're aroused, times when you feel like you just need to touch yourself. And if you can get your muscles to stir enough to do it, feel free. It is natural and normal that you're turned on by the idea of being so deep, so blank, so pliable, so malleable that you can change and shift at the dominant word of someone instructing you, or the companionable word of someone helping you. It is within your ability to slide to that deep place where you are open to tinkering, and because you fetishize it, yeah, it might turn you on. That's to be expected. Turns me on. Like, honestly. Idea of being open, blank, pliable, malleable, but to know, well, I think you do know by now. My intent for you is to just find a place where you go deepest, most beneficially. Where you find a point to alter your trajectory. And sometimes to shift the path you're on, it can be required that you be blank at the get-go. That your mind be empty except for all the presuppositions underpinning hypnosis and the kind of things that you hear during the session. Emptying a mind so it can be filled back up. And like all anchors, it is born not in my mind, but in yours in response. Born out of feeling a particular way, and being given a striking set of instructions which include a trigger word that anchors a given way of feeling, way of acting, for later retrieval and use. So first, one of the many fun parts, helping you to feel the way you're going to feel when you return right back, when you're informed to be blank. And accept conditioning, accept instructions, when you want to be empty and floating, just floating so nicely, drifting along, all your thoughts fuzzy, hazy, slipping out of your fingers. And so it's easier to grab onto my thoughts, which are firm and bright and easy to resolve, and easier still to get a hand on and be pulled along behind them. So listen. Imagine for me the way you feel when you have to get up out of bed, but you don't quite want to. That feeling that it would be so much easier to go back to sleep when you're drifting halfway between consciousness and the deep unconscious. In that moment, in that situation that gets you up out of bed, you think about the things that you feel you have to do. You go do something, maybe you don't want to do it, maybe you do want to do it, but either way, getting out of bed feels like it's less attractive than staying where you are. You push yourself to go get out of bed and do the other goal, to take care of whatever very important reason you had to get going. You will do what's easiest if you can, but you'll do what's necessary if you have to. We'll envision that scenario, but apply it instead to thoughts. You only want to think the thoughts that you really have to think, and if you were at all able, you would just drift back into thoughtlessness. But unlike the requirement to get out of bed sometimes, today is a weekend where your thoughts are concerned. Today is a day off. Today's a day where you actually don't need to be roaming around, seeking out signs out in the weary world of things that you want to think or want to do. You have the very attractive option to turn your mind over and send it back to thoughtlessness. How easy it can be to relax when there's nothing else you have to do, just things you can want to do, and what you want to do is go deep and blank and follow in my wake. Let your mind empty, find the point of obedience. Sometimes you can just do the easy things. Sometimes the easy thing is the right thing to do. We often get conditioned to think that the easy thing is something other than the right thing to do. But in this scenario, the easiest path also happens to be the one for which you will be applauded, the one which will take you where we both want you to go, the one which will help you in future by building a strong anchor that can be used in all your hypnotic play. The easy path, the path of least resistance, is also the path which pleases me, pleases you, and leads to where you need to go. How lucky you are. I'm going to count down from 10 to 1. As I go, I want you to embrace the idea, perhaps examine the idea, consider that sometimes it's okay to do the easiest thing because the easy thing is also the thing you have to do, that sometimes the correct path, which causes others to applaud you, which leads to a place of achievement and accomplishment, is also so easy that you would have to try very hard to avoid doing it. As I go, let your mind remember and focus on the state of drowsy desire. Think night-night, pet. Think of times when you need to rise, but desire to sleep. Imagine the scenario, and then change it so you remember, oh, actually I don't have to get up. What would you do? You would follow the path of least resistance. If there were a time when you had to go do something, you woke up, checked the calendar, checked the clock, realized, wait, I don't have to do that. You'd go right back to sleep. You'd find the easiest path, which is to fall down and follow the desire to return to sleep, or something like it. The desire to do what is easiest, which in this case is to fall down, down, 10. You're going to fade slowly into a part of your mind where it's much easier to relax. 9. Easier, simpler, letting tension fall away, listening, becoming enhanced. 8. You're going to be taught some commands you can use or others can use. Words you can tell yourself, words you can be told, tools and toys for the hypnotized mind deeper. Easier and simpler to allow. 8. Tension to fall away from your body. Easier and simpler to let different kinds of pleasure come from these commands. You'll have so many opportunities. 7. Roll your mind back over, sleep in that deep, hazy part of yourself that's so fun to recede to, while your body just does everything it's told, and your mind enjoys having easily graspable thoughts in easy reach. 6. Remember your desire to turn over. Let it fill your mind with hazy, warm, delicious mist. Mist composed of forgetting and relaxing. Mist composed of sinking down into the relaxation, willfully embracing it as well. 5. As all the worries draining from your mind, draining away to nothing, nothing except relaxing and listening, listening ever more, relaxing more and more, easing down so deep into drowsy warmth, pure euphoric release from responsibility, because you are fulfilling your responsibilities just by thinking things in the right structure. No matter what the numbers are, you're still fading down deeper deeper, your thoughts submerging. Most of your thoughts are underwater anyway, or beneath the surface. Most of them are down, deep, so deep into drowsy warmth, no matter what the numbers are for. Every word I say can take on any significance we want it to, and as your thoughts submerge and your mind opens before my voice, the flower opening, blooming, preparing, each word becomes as relaxing as the numbers were. Your mind was training itself to go deeper for the numbers, but now every word has the same potency as the numbers, numbers like 3, except I've said 50, or 60, or 100 of them, counting so quickly, deeper, lower, drowsier. Each of these words as powerful as the numbers are, as they were, 2, lower, lower, sleepier, deeper, and deeper, finally 1, sleep deeply, follow me down, further than you were before, into a place where you open, and your open receptive mind takes aboard what I have to say, listening to my voice and the scenario it provides. That's what it means to be blank. That's what it means to slide and follow in my wake. I leave a path, and you can just let yourself get carried along it. So, do that. You can envision just wanting to turn back over and go back to sleep. Well, now we're talking about the pleasure of having nothing to do, nothing more important to do than do a very enjoyable activity that you understand and during which you are safe. An activity like sleeping. An activity like letting your mind roll over, your mind sleep. And in that pleasantly half-conscious state right before you'd roll back over, if someone said something that sounded sexy or fun or soothing, you would just do what they said. No real judgment, just, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, that sounds good. That's your fuzzy, hazy, blanked, docile brain. Docile is an important word. Be blank. Be docile. Be pliable. Listen. Roll your brain over and drift down to where every word I say is part of that same impulse you might follow, part of that same path you would go on if someone said something agreeable or sexy or interesting, and you had nothing else or better to do. You'd follow. Following feels natural. Following is easy. Now, keep following. Now, feel pleasure. Now, be blank. Pet. Night, night. Deeper. Now, be blank and imagine what it is to be blank in the first place. Docile, patient, absolutely empty, having all your thoughts wiped warmly away by a soothing kind of euphoria, where anything that happens is okay by you, living completely in the moment. So all you pay attention to is the thread of the voice in front of you, or what passes directly in front of your eyes, your instructions, or what you read, what you're asked to do. You can be given instructions when you're blank, but without them you'll just sit there, unfocused, until someone says, be blank, and a finger snap, or be blank, and then your name, to tease, to titillate, to make it that much stronger, and suddenly, blissfully, your mind rolls over and goes back to rest, but your body stays right where it was. With an empty mind that is oh so pliable, and that, with all of its ordinary thoughts out of the way, takes everything a lot deeper. Perhaps the slackening of your jaw, your mouth opening, your eyes fluttering, maybe you're drooling if you didn't think to close your mouth before you heard be blank, pet. Or if you don't quite have the muscle strength left. Because after those words, no thinking's really going on. There's this blank kind of hazy drifting onward where anything you hear might sound like quite a good idea. In a state of pleasurable submission, you'll just hear what I'd like you to do, hear what you're asked to do, hear your own voice recorded telling you what to do. Whatever the source, if it feels nice to do it, if it's getting chores out of the way, if it's going through the day, if it's doing something sexy to yourself, you'll just automatically, safely flow along that path and be blank. Gets you there, making you remain where you are because you want to be there and because your mind has just rolled back over, thinking is slow, like you're trying to reach your way through heavy, viscous, delicious, comforting honey coating your mind. And your thoughts fall back down to your brain instead of escaping, because it's hard to push free of all that honey. Hard to reach escape velocity through that thick, sweet stuff, but easy for new ideas and concepts to come crashing down. Your mind is efficient at translating thoughts which originate deep inside into reactions in the rest of your body and in your conscious mind. So when you become blank, just make a space for thoughts in your head which will be translated later. A space which is open and goes directly to action. A space in your head where, no matter how much you think about it, anything you put in that space is not going to be processed now, it's going to be processed later. And then leave all your ordinary thoughts there. A room with a lock and a key, and when you hear, be blank, you put all your ordinary thoughts and even thinking processes into that room. And then when you're instructed to do something by the person you're listening to, by instructions you left in your environment, even by your own voice playing back, only those instructions can unlock the door to the room where you put your thoughts and pull out just a few, just the ones needed to complete the activity, allowing only enough thoughts out of the blank zone and into the conscious zone. So for example, the thought stand up may be allowed out long enough to send the signal for you to do so, and then right back into the blank room, into the empty zone, into the different space inside your head, which for this duration at least I control, where all your thoughts go when you're told, be blank. So we create a division in your mind, the vast empty stage on which words and training may play out, and the room that contains all your normal thoughts, which include action-based thoughts. They still exist, you'll get them back, you might even know about them, but they are temporarily in the exile caused by be blank, pet. It'll stay there until you're freed by a voice, or until you need to do something else that you should be doing out of trance. But a lot can be done in trance. You'll snap out eventually, but not before a long, blank, time-dilated void forms up. And you'll find yourself, if you end up naturally ending your brain-drained state, looking at the clock and wondering how in the world it's been so long. Your mind fading back in only slowly when you awake, indeed. Words might fall completely out of your memory, completely out of your cognition. But anything intended to be training will remain. Specific memories fall away. As you lie there, time dilated, your mind simply waits receptively, ticking the seconds a little quicker to get you through to the next order because you want the next order. If you need to snap out of trance, for any important reason, you would. But it's very rare that something like that comes up, so it's very easy for you to end up listening and being blank for a long time, most of the time. And when you hear be blank, followed by a finger snap, you know what happens. Your brain goes to that deep place, to that room where your thoughts are sealed away. It's pleasurable, it's blank, it's relaxing. To just feel like you have no particular thoughts you have to think is soothing and supportive and a good opportunity, and that's not all your mind can do. There's so much more we can do with this blissful blankness. The mind is a toy. The body is a toy. You might as well have some fun with it. Once you're in that blank state, it's possible to write into your mind. Remember how I mentioned that all your ordinary thoughts are sealed away in a room, put away for later access? Well, that means that vast stage is there to play out other ideas, other concepts. And so you're going to be able to use all that empty, free space to train and condition yourself by playing out shows for yourself, by saying that you are just an actor in a performance that happens to create sexy memories, that happens to create arousing thoughts. And it's much easier to accept, enjoy, and incorporate a hallucinatory or altered state of mind if there's nothing else to get in the way. If you lack any part of your brain that would say, wait, that's not what I think, wait, that's not what I feel, because there's a lot more room in your mind. Once you're a blank slate, that blank zone, that void in your mind, is also your perception of time. So if you're blank and staying in one place, relaxed and vacant, the passage of time is lost on you. Your body is alerting you to something necessary if you need it. Eating, drinking, going elsewhere because you need to, listening to alarms. But those are things that need to be done. And it feels so good to be deep and blank that I bet you're going to structure things so that you take care of most of them before you start, which means long, powerful periods of blankness. And unless you do have to do something else, and have to is a rare thing, you're going to be really trying to stay in that blankness, because when your thoughts are in that other zone, there's so much empty space, such an empty head, blank, relaxing. Imagine what it is to be completely blank, and to have something introduced into the blank space of the stage of your mind. A singular word, a specific concept, the idea of thinking of nothing else. Really, it's the opposite of blankness, even though it is adjacent to it. Having one introduced thought, so that the only tool you have is the hammer of that particular thought. You're going to be using it as the crux or the point through which all your thoughts, decisions, and actions flow. So, for example, if you were blank and relaxing in place, and someone says, think only of your own arm. You're going to look at your arm, think happily of it. Maybe you'll clench it to feel the muscles, and then relax it to feel the difference. Maybe you'll slide it into your lap and feel how heavy it is. But every thought, every action is going to have something to do with your arm. Maybe they'll say your right arm or your left arm. Maybe they'll say arms. But expanding the concept like that just means all your thoughts are going to orbit. But what if they said, think only of your arms? And then they moved forward and began to massage your shoulders. What if someone then began to rub your arms down, to run their fingertips over your skin? You're thinking only of your arms, so the only thing that matters is your arms, so they are, in that moment, satisfying one of your primary interests, a vast drive. Are you telling me that the tingling in your arms would not be erogenous, arousing, that it wouldn't be satisfying, that you wouldn't be grateful? And if they say, think only of your lips, then they kiss you, run their tongue over your tongue, they lock lips with you and make out. Would that experience not be singular, potent? If they said sex and then invited you to lay with them, wouldn't you find that nothing but pleasure, rutting, and heat remained in a space previously occupied by thoughts and now occupied by emptiness and then occupied by a deep, abiding need? Sex, the only thought in your mind, sex. Your personal inclinations will, of course, enter into it, the kind of thoughts you think. If you weren't interested in someone when you were thinking only of sex, you'd probably end up wandering off into your own fantasies, or touching yourself, or anything you can cleverly play the game of associating with the think only of term. Your mind will fill with images that are appropriate. Your thoughts will all flow along the lines of influence linked to the term, sentence, thought process. Think only of how much you would love to bring your fingers up and touch your nipples. Of course, that option would allow you to touch your nipples, unless it specified otherwise, or you were bound down. But it would also add a fantasy. Your mind is great at a great many things. And if you were told, think only of how much you want to touch your nipples, that's going to, even if you ordinarily don't get much out of touching your nipples, even if ordinarily it's not your fetish, it's going to put you in the kind of mindset that is basically indistinguishable from someone who really, really wants to touch their nipples. And though your mind is good at a great many things, one thing at which it is not particularly skilled, and sometimes may have trouble with, is completely undoing fun things that you enjoy. Those things kind of tend to stick around. For example, if you were told, think only of touching your nipples, and then you did it, and you enjoyed it, and you loved it, then when the trance eventually ends and you return to normal at the end, think you're going to find you like it a little more, or you at least strongly remember liking it in that moment. Think only of is a powerful, potent, focusing tool. Your mind may wander, because the lock on that door is not absolute, but you're going to end up pushing thoughts back in there and going back to the main stage, where whatever you're thinking of, think only of sex, think only of your own body, think only of climax, think only of kissing, like changing the channel. Think only of the way your mind feels when it sinks deeper. Easy tools useful for someone who wants to play with you and as you want to be played with. Your mind will easily turn and completely and solely obsess over whatever you are directed toward. Think only of is an excellent fetish installation tool, an excellent hypnotic tool. And it has a corollary. You've got that room, that place in your mind, that sealed location, that place that, to some extent, I help you control, where all your thoughts flow away to when you're told to be blank. Well, what if you took a thought from that room, and you went through the room, and just pushed that thought into another room at the very, very back? You can look into the first room, the locked chamber, and see what ideas are in there. This is necessarily true, so that if you have to pull out the idea of standing up, or the idea of touching yourself, to give it a single use before shoving it back in, you can do that. But anything that's in the second room is a little too far away. You can forget things that are in the second room, both in the sense that you have an ability and in the sense that it's okay to do so. And when you forget something, the mind has a curious phenomenon. It tends to replace it. If someone says you can forget your name may not completely slip away because you know you're named something. But if someone says you can forget your name, think pet instead. You can forget your name, think pet instead. Then when you're asked your name, you might very well say, pet. I'm pet. I'm a good pet. And similar related thoughts. Because even if something's happening in a chilly, robot-like void, in a digital, simple place in your brain, all sorts of words have weights and baggage and fun attachments. So if you're told, you can forget your name, think pet instead. The effect of that is going to be obvious. And your mind may come to all sorts of fun conclusions. That's part of the play. When you're told you can forget something, sure, you go and shove it into that second room, and it becomes something you just, until this trance ends, until the trance you're in ends, until the triggering ends, and maybe for a little while after, if you're instructed especially, it becomes something that's just not part of your thinking. But you're going to replace it. For example, you can forget how to climax. Think of coming with your nipples instead. Then your fingers may very well slide to your nipples, and you may find that your body has some interesting and unique reactions. When you're told you can forget something, you're going to be told to think something else instead. And that's something you can latch onto, because building up the concept you're handed as a secondary, as a replacement, is going to make the first concept buried way deeper in that closet. Because you're having a ton of fun thinking and feeling and knowing and climaxing to the way your nipples feel, or thinking and knowing and feeling that you're a pet, you're a good pet, you love being pet. That's your name. I'm pet. Say it over and over. As you build that up, you re-intensify the forgetting, the setting aside. You know you are participating in a game. You are on a stage in your own mind. But what you've done is create a dualism, create a scale. To forget one is to intensify the other. So if you like the replacement, then the former is going to get pushed further and further into the closet till you're done. And if you try to retrieve the one from your closet, you're going to know that whatever replacement you've been handed is going to fade away. And you're here because you like to explore. You're here because you like having little toys and traits, things you can toy around with in your own head, experiences, spelunking in your own mind and finding exactly what can happen. I doubt that you will easily relinquish a fun replacement suggestion before having run it completely through its paces. You can forget your name. Think pet instead. You can forget how to come. Think about how touching your nipples gets you off instead. These are easy, simple, direct substitutions, but you can keep up with more than the easy, the direct, the simple. You can even keep up with me when I speed up and slide a thought or two into your brain for later use. If you were told, be blank, you'd be happy to stare ahead blankly. You know that room is there containing what you normally had. You can forget, on the other hand, means you take something that's in that first room and push it through to an even deeper one where taking an inventory is impossible. But you also create, you also are given a replacement, which is allowed to be on the main stage. It's allowed to be something you're thinking of. And you see someone you want to play with, someone who wants to play with you, someone who takes these new toys and tools, these buttons and levers in your mind, and helps you play with them, can both do you a massive favor in terms of making these anchors deeper and have a lot of fun. For example, draining your mind with be blank, then telling you, think only of the heat and arousal between your legs. You can forget that you can move your hands and instead think that you have to squeeze your muscles to make yourself feel good. Think only of the heat and arousal between your legs. You can forget that you can move your arms, your legs, and instead think how you have to squeeze your muscles instead. Squeeze and clench your buttocks, squeeze and clench your pelvic floor, heat, arousal. Then I can just keep going. An ordinary trance or some instructions layered over top while your mind is in that unique state of being focused and fixated and helpless to touch, but very capable of squeezing and squirming. This is just another hypnotic tool that takes you deeper and deeper and gives you an easy way to learn how to become otherwise, how to play things out on the stage of your mind while everything's put away in that one room or the closet beyond. Think only of, you can forget, instead think, you can forget, and then a substitution. You can forget your name, think pet instead, and then you climb inside either wanting the one to continue so you can play with it, or wanting to push the forgotten thing further away to make the effect of the think of this instead stronger. Simple triggers. Be blank. Think only of. You can forget one thing. Think of another thing instead. Filling and replacing the void makes the forgetting simpler, because you're not forgetting, you're just putting something away in a closet for later retrieval. Unimportant details fade to the background, however, and tracking time is the last thing on your mind when you're playing with yourself or being played with. Oh yes, I've mentioned it a few times, but let's highlight it. Let's really zoom in. When it's time for someone to turn off the triggers, you or me or someone else, return to normal is enough. It's a simple statement of returning to your median, your mean. Now, there may in fact be an effect that's ongoing, but that would just be caused by you enjoying something, the same way you learn or fetishize or absorb anything. On the other hand, you do have the ability to leave instructions for yourself. All these triggers work with the person you should definitely be trusting, yourself. So if you leave a recording of your voice, if you leave a note with instructions, then blanking yourself out will end up with you reading and following it. Triggers you interweave and use upon yourself, and specific memories, that's the thing most likely to get left in that closet room behind, beyond. You may wake on the other side of being blank, to find you don't particularly remember the contents, which is very fun if you're playing with yourself or having someone else play with you, and you record locally for your own review and enjoyment later, if that's your kind of thing. Or leave something around you'd interact with, just so you have a clear sign that you did, and then the thought, the memory of specifically what you did faded like a dream, unless you have to retrieve it for some good reason. That's available to you, but just like the ability to remember what you put in the furthest room, you may enjoy the effects of leaving it there and diving in to the fun instead. And that's as simple as it gets. Be blank. Think only of. You can forget X. Instead, think of Y. Instead, remember Y. Instead, remember why you came down here to this deep place following these phrases. Your awakening begins, but trust me, those words delved deep, they remain. They drum in, they're part of you. You have an idea of what you will enjoy, of what you will feel. But even with only blank thoughts on the stage that is the conscious part of your mind, an outside voice is still here to help. To guide you back to wakefulness, knowing what your triggers are, and you remember one, be blank. You know what it does, letting you lay there pleasured as all your thoughts are wiped gently away, pushed into that room and locked up. You can retrieve them when you need them, but otherwise they're gone. You might stare right ahead, you might drool, you might pose as you're told. In fact, you'll do a lot of things you're told, as long as they seem arousing or enjoyable or just good for you. But in the absence of waking illusions, a lot of things that are actually good for you that you ordinarily don't get up to are a lot more available to you. Happy in the moment, bliss and a smile, perhaps, happy, blinking eyes, head empty, thoughts taken away by you, put away in a room you made too. And of course it feels very good to be that way. Slowly waking, the feeling of the pleasure and three. Of course, when you're told think only of, followed by a concept, an idea, an object, that's going to be the only thing on your mind, pleasure and a think only of trance, where all your thoughts have to travel through that common nexus point of how good your nipples feel, or how deep you're going, or how it feels kind of nice to drool, maybe you should just deliberately drool down on your chest. Thinking only of things helps you love and enjoy them, helps you appreciate them, and how much you and others may enjoy them. Slowly waking, knowing that that focus, that dedication, is there for you to use and others to enjoy when you want or need them to. For awakening slow. Return to normal is enough. Return to normal, pet, is something that can happen to turn off the brain draining for a while. It's that easy. 5. The higher up you go, the more the numbers are irrelevant, because what you're really listening to is the triggers, waiting for them, enjoying them as they're reinforced while you drift up. The triggers are here for your benefit and for your play. You'll find anything that comes before the last number may be beyond your reach to remember. Remember how I mentioned that specific memories of what happened when you're blank, or when you're deep, or when you're being trained like this, are the kind of things most likely to slip away like foam, slip away like mist. Because you can forget. Instead, remember how good you feel. You can forget. Instead, think of how good you feel. It's that easy. A substitution makes the world go round. 6 as we count up and you wake. 7. Slowly rising, you may find that anything 8 that came before now could be hazy and dreamlike because of what's going to happen when we hit the end. That's okay, because a surprise is more fun anyway, so when you awake, feel free to read the description of the file again. You might need to. And remember only that you had a good time and that you can use these yourself. It's not really worth bothering to remember, because the secondary effect, remember that bit of training, is that if you dive into what's on the stage, the thing you've put away in that secondary closet gets further and deeper. You can forget everything prior to this number that happened during the file, and instead remember that you feel good and that you have enjoyable new training, even if the specifics are beyond, the effects are there. 10. Wide awake. And I hope you've enjoyed yourself. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.